it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Suter, former Maryland all-time great punt returner, now part of the Johnny Holiday Steve Suter game broadcast crew, is going to be with us on the show doing a film breakdown of the Packers Washington game Thursday. I promise you, you're going to want to hear this. He's really, really good at it. Joining me right now for the first time is Tom Shad. Tom is new to the Washington Post. He's on the beat covering the team for the Washington Post. You can follow Tom on X on Twitter at Tom_Shad, S-C-H-A-D. Tom, I'm looking at your X account. So you went to AU. Are you from here?
No, I'm originally from Colorado, but I've been here the better part of the past 15 years.
I guess. Oh, yeah, it does say Colorado years, native. But I'm reading that right now. I missed that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you've been here for how long? Sorry.
About 15 years. I mean, I had a couple years in Memphis, but yeah, I've been around and covered this team for the Washington Times for like a year or something way back in the early aughts. So yeah, it's a new chapter at the Post, but kind of a return in a lot of different ways.
Where were you most recently before coming back here?
I was at USA Today for about 8 years.
Got it. Covering the NFL?
A little bit of enterprise investigations, Olympic stuff. There was some NFL stuff in there, but it was mostly kind of league-wide stuff as opposed to team-specific.
All right. Well, welcome back and best of luck. You joined just in time for a season that is, you know, without question, the highest expectation season in, you know, 25 years, probably the most anticipated season in forever. And 2 weeks into it, we have an injury. What's your hunch on what this injury is and how serious it is? We didn't get a lot from the head coach yesterday. What do you think?
Yeah, it's really hard to call at this point in the week. I mean, one of the interesting kind of subplots to come out of yesterday, what Dan Quinn was explaining, was the play on which he got injured. You know, I think kind of I had thought that it was later in the fourth quarter than it was. The fact that it was on the first play of the fourth quarter, at least as Dan Quinn described it, you know, indicates that he played the entirety of the fourth quarter and actually had some success in the fourth quarter. So, you know, that I think is one small signal that, you know, it might not be a significant injury. Now, that said, you know, there are all these sort of macro factors, right, about what you do with a franchise quarterback, how quickly you try to bring him back, how kind of careful you are in terms of bringing him back. So it's a long-winded way of, I guess, not really answering your question. It's just really hard to say right now. And I think, you know, tomorrow we'll get, you know, a small glimpse out on the practice field before they close it up to reporters. But I think that will be interesting. And then, you know, just kind of hearing how he's progressing and how he's looking as the week goes on.
You know, we've had some experience around here with young quarterbacks with star potential playing injured and it not working out well. Do you think they knew he hurt his knee on that play and let him play the fourth quarter or not?
That's a great question. I mean, my assumption would be that he would, you know, talk with the coaching staff about that and let them know, you know, but I don't have any kind of sourcing or first-hand knowledge to back that up. I mean, I think a lot of times, especially with in-game injuries, it's hard to assess, you know, for players, especially when, you know, they're running on adrenaline and stuff, like how serious or not serious something is. And, you know, as we've seen from Jaden over his time here, you know, he's always going to try to play, right? So, you know, it could be a situation where it just felt like something, you know, minor, and it wasn't until the adrenaline died down after the game that he was like, oh, no, this is kind of bothering me.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, because we didn't see him limp until he rolled his ankle in that fourth quarter drive that made it 27-18, which I think until yesterday, like you said, we all thought that that's where he got hurt.
Yeah. So the fact that, like, and I was going back yesterday and kind of rewatching that early part of the fourth quarter. I mean, if he's showing any visible signs of it, it's almost imperceptible, you know, to the average viewer. So, my guess is that, you know, there was some communication, but, you know, that it wasn't deemed to be that serious. And there's also a chance, mind you, that it might not be that serious now. You know, he could be kind of, right. You know, back to normal or somewhat normal operation, and this could all be much ado about nothing. We just don't know just yet.
Yeah, we don't know. We're talking to Tom Shad from the Washington Post. But as a reporter, you know, and you've kind of given me the answer that you don't know. But, I mean, have you thought about some of, you know, the tea leaves and reading them? Like I talked about earlier in the show, Tom, if this were insignificant, why haven't we heard that yet? Why didn't we hear that quickly? Why was Quinn so, you know, evasive to a certain degree yesterday? Nikki asked the question about, is it a knee sprain? He didn't even answer that part of it. We've learned from reporting that it's a sprain, but we don't know what grade. Does anything in reading the tea leaves as a longtime reporter steer you in one direction or the other if you had to wager on it in terms of him playing or not playing Sunday?
Yeah, it's a fair question. You know, I think in my experience, teams and kind of team leadership, they deal with injuries kind of broadly speaking differently. I was talking about being in Memphis, and like, you know, I had some time there with Justin Fuente when he was the coach, and some time with Mike Norvell when he was the coach, and they just approached injuries totally differently in the degree to which they would talk about them. My read on kind of what Dan Quinn was doing yesterday is just kind of, you know, an unwillingness to provide specifics about injuries generally. If you want to read the tea leaves, I mean, you can kind of interpret what he's saying as, you know, there is something definitely there with Jaden, but, you know, he's not one to offer up like specifics about anybody who's injured. I mean, we asked about John Bates and Noah Brown too, and he said they're soft tissue injuries and, you know, right. Wasn't, going into a lot of detail on that one either. So, yeah, I mean, that's why, and you know, it's just hard to kind of read the tubes too much when teams are like that. As you said, I mean, we've been among the outlets reporting that it is a knee sprain. We don't know what degree or severity it is. But that's why I think I kind of pumped the brakes on, like, yeah, kind of really looking into how Dan was addressing it, because I think a lot of that could just be like the general kind of approach unwillingness to discuss injuries.
Yeah, he wasn't specific about Bates or Brown, but he did say that it's a long shot that either one of those two would play, and he did not, you know, indicate one way or the other on Jaden Daniels. We're talking to Tom Shad. You know, you mentioned something, you know, organizationally, kind of how they handle this with, you know, this franchise quarterback that's played at a very high level through his first 22 games, really until Thursday night. And whether or not, I guess, for the lack of a better description, Tom, they would err on the side of caution. Do you have any sense of how they would approach that? Would they err on the side of caution, or would they say, you know what, he went through and hit all these markers and, you know, he practiced, we're rolling with him?
Yeah, I don't have a strong sense as of, you know, this minute on a Tuesday morning. I mean, I think if you were to kind of play out the scenarios, you know, one scenario would be Jaden feels fine. He's itching to play. He's kind of pounding on the table to play. And as long as he's checked every box, you know, they kind of look at each other as kind of the team brass and go, well, if the doctors say he's good to go and he wants to play, we'll put him out there. Obviously it's not as simple or straightforward as that. You know, but it kind of just depends, I think, on them, you know, watching him over the course of the week. And then not just hearing what he's saying, but also kind of monitoring how he's moving on the practice field and stuff. Because that's one thing Dan Quinn said yesterday, is there's a certain, you know, element of protecting guys from themselves. And especially with it being week three and his importance to the team. I mean, there would be reason to err on the side of caution, but I think they would have a hard time keeping him out if he checks the boxes and he's found on stable to play.
What do you think about, you know, this young, you know, superstar who's taken more hits in the last 22 games than any other quarterback in the league, took more hits in 2024 than any starting quarterback through 2 weeks. He's been hit more than any starting quarterback in the league. What's the solution? What's the answer to that?
That's been a really interesting, like, kind of part of the discourse here over the last, I don't know, 48 hours. Right. And it's something that gets absolutely no conversation when he's offensive rookie of the year and he's tearing things up and he's scrambling for these, you know, crazy 30-yard runs and doing the stuff that he does. You know, I think my kind of sense is that, like, when you're hurt, everyone's going to freak out about it. When you're not, it's kind of like a non-issue. And if you kind of take both of those off the table, like, this is just kind of part of the risk reward of having a guy like Jaden Daniels play quarterback. I mean, he's going to do things that other quarterbacks can't do with his legs, which is going to help you and going to win you some games. It's also going to expose him and team to some risk that you wouldn't have with somebody who's more stationary under center. And so that's just kind of part of what you sign up for with a guy like this. But to have it be such a large part of the discourse now and kind of like forgotten when, you know, he's playing really well, like, I think, you know, from a team standpoint and from a fan standpoint, you kind of just have to take this as like, this is part of the deal, right? Like, if you want all the benefits of Jaden's scrambling and playmaking, you also have to kind of recognize that there are some drawbacks to it as well.
Yeah. For sure. We're talking to Tom Shad from the Washington Post. All right. Of the other injuries, Wise and Eckler done for the year, Bates and Noah Brown probably out this week at least. Who's going to be missed the most, do you think? I think it's a tough question. I haven't come up with a good answer yet.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a lot tougher than it appears on its face. I mean, kind of like the knee-jerk reaction would be Eckler, just because of the state of the running back room and everything that he kind of provides from a pass-catching standpoint. I think it actually might be Dietrich Wise. The part of me is tempted to say John Bates as well. I mean, these are guys that just fill very critical, if overlooked, roles on the offense and defense respectively. I mean, Bates, if you go back and watch the film, like, there are so many plays that Micah Parsons impacts, you know, particularly on the right side with Josh Connerly, where you would think that there might have been some plans to have John Bates in there helping with the blocking or chipping or what have you. So to lose him, I think, is a big blow. And then Wise, like, the biggest difference to me between the first game and the second game was just the defensive line. Offensive line is kind of 1A, 1B, but Wise is obviously a huge body up there. He brings kind of a different profile than the other guys that they have on that roster. And they talked yesterday about kind of, you know, Jalen Holmes and some other solutions, you know, guys to kind of fill in that spot. But you don't really have a good replacement for him. And I think given the way that they've constructed that defense and the importance of that defensive front, Wise, if you had to have me pick one, might be the biggest one to lose.
On Eckler, do you think there's a chance that they go out and look for an answer, you know, via trade? There's not really anything left free agency-wise. I know they signed Chase Edmonds to the practice squad. They signed Donovan Edwards a couple of weeks ago to the practice squad. But I'm thinking, like, big. You know, we know that, you know, Adam Peters was part of the crew that traded for Christian McCaffrey midseason. Could, like, an Alvin Kamara, as an example, be a solution for this team? If you I think they believe they're in a win now mode, taking advantage of Jaden's rookie deal. Do you think that's in play at all with them? Something like that.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a possibility. I mean, I think it kind of depends on how the next couple weeks unfold and how much they think the issue is a running back issue versus an offensive line issue. You know, like, Bill looked great in week one. And I think a lot of that was just, you know, obviously, his kind of ability to kind of make some cuts and you know, follow the blockers and all that stuff, but it largely boiled down to the line. And so I think if you start seeing kind of a resurgence from the offensive line, maybe they look at it and go, well, you know, we're happy with what we have. As long as the offensive line is kind of opening up holes, we just roll the dice and go with that. But if they kind of get a couple weeks down the road and say, well, you know, we're not doing enough from the running back spot specifically, yeah, I think it's feasible that they can make a move.
Do you think there's any chance they give Josh Connerly Jr. a break for a few weeks and put Wiley in there at right tackle?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. I mean, it kind of just gets to, how they want to handle him as a player in the long term. Like, I think, obviously drafting him in the first round, starting him out there in week one against Brian Burns, who was no slouch in his own right, and then to go from him to Parsons. I took that as a signal that, they want him to kind of grow into the role, and they're willing to kind of take some lumps here in the early going. I think if they wanted to ease him into action, that would have been kind of a logical move to, start Wiley at the start of the season and make a switch kind of mid-season. So the fact that they started him from week one signaled to me that they're okay with some growing pains. So, I mean, I would not be surprised if Wiley was out there this week, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they just ride with Josh against Max Crosby and just kind of let him continue to learn on the job, which is, obviously tough, and you don't want you have to be careful because you don't want him to have too many brutal games in a row at the start of a career because it can kind of mess with your psyche. And I'm not talking specifically to Josh. I'm just talking broadly for young players. So you have to be careful with that aspect of it. I think it's just it's kind of a short-term versus long-term thing because having these reps against these pass rushers will probably help him grow in the long term. But what's the cost here in the short term?
So what did you think this team would be 2 weeks ago before the opener? And what do you think right now about the season that, still has 4 months left in it?
Yeah. At macro level, 30,000 foot view, my thoughts have not changed at all. I think you were looking at a playoff team, that has a chance to kind of get back to where they got to last year, and I don't think that anything has changed, and it's really tempting, especially in these first couple weeks, to have kind of knee-jerk reactions because everything's kind of been unknown. But I think, when we get to the end of December, you'll look back at week two and go, well, the Packers were a buzzsaw, and like that's just kind of the story of that particular game. They might not look as dominant on the offensive and defensive lines throughout the course of the season as they did against the Giants. There might be some regression of the mean there, but from a macro level, I don't think this team is all that different from, the team that I thought they were kind of coming into the season. Now, Wise and Eckler, obviously, big blows, and we'll see what happens with Jaden and if he misses, this week. But macro level, I think it kind of the team is what the team was entering the year.
Way too reasonable, Tom. Far too reasonable for, an NFL fan. So last one for you, going back to Thursday night. What do you think, from a coaching standpoint, they regret the most about Thursday night's game?
If I had to put one thing out there, I think it's probably getting away from the run in the second half. That's something that Dan Quinn talked about, but I went back and was looking at the stats. In the second half, they had the ball six times. They ran the ball, this is from the running backs, six times for a total of 14 yards. And, part of that is like an ineffectiveness where they couldn't get anything going on the ground. And part of it was they just got away from it and they became totally one-dimensional in the second half, which, Dan Quinn made the point, they weren't totally out of it. Like there's a part early in the fourth quarter where they had a shot, but they just become so one-dimensional on offense. And especially going against that pass rush and guys like Micah Parsons, you're just leaving, your offensive line totally exposed. So I think if they had a do-over, if Cliff Kingsbury had a do-over, that would be the one thing, running the ball and working to establish the run a little bit more there, especially in the third quarter.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think I felt that way after the game, but I really felt that way after listening to that answer that you're referring to, where Quinn kind of, pushed it into an answer that had nothing to do with the question. Actually, if you go back and listen to it, because it was about the offensive line specifically. But I think that's interesting. Who knows if it would have worked or not, because Green Bay's really good, but it would have been interesting had they tried it. Thank you so much for doing this. Good luck with everything. Really appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Tom Shadd, everybody, now covers the team for the Washington Post. All right. This is the question I want to ask, and we will open up phone lines at 301-230-0980. What's the solution with Jaden Daniels. You can also answer what you hope happens this weekend. We don't know a lot. You know, you can tea leaf read like I tried to do at the beginning of the show, but they are very buttoned up out there. And unless the doctor is talking or unless Jaden talks or the agent talks, we're not going to know for sure, I don't think, until the end of the week at the earliest. If you want to guess, does he play or doesn't he play, you can do that. But then what's the solution for Jaden moving forward to get out of this, you know, we're going to have to deal with this every year. You know, a game or two where he's going to be on the injury report, you know, perhaps plays, not plays. You know, maybe there isn't a solution to this, but I want you to weigh in with what do you think a solution to keeping him upright, healthy, and away from as many hits as he has taken in his first 22 games as an NFL quarterback. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980. And don't forget, you can watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the like button and hit the subscribe button when you get there.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.